You know, we're just buckets of wisdom over here.
That's right. Just pouring out wisdom.
Or desperate for wisdom. Which one? I don't
That's
know.
It's hard to say.
Welcome to This Bible Podcast. I know, the name's super creative. I'm your host, Sam Lewis, and I'm glad you're here. We'll be diving into the daily lectionary, and I hope you'll find something that is maybe a little fun, maybe meaningful, and hopefully brings you closer to God. Let's dive in.
Thanks, Sam, for having me. My name's Kip Nelson. My pronouns are he, him. I am an openly gay man serving as a pastor in Miami Beach, Florida at St. John's on the Lake United Methodist Church, which is a missional partner of First United Methodist Church of downtown Miami. I've been in Miami serving for about 5 years, 4 years downtown, and the last 9 months here on the beach.
Sounds like a pretty good spot.
You know, I can't complain other than spring breakers, but.
Sure, no doubt.
Well, but the sun is mostly shining. It's always warm. And I like that.
Yeah. And I think it's significant to note that being an openly gay pastor in Florida is very different from, say, Northern California.
I think that's safe to say.
Yeah. I'm grateful for the work you're doing there for, you know, queer kids in Florida who don't have somebody to look up to. Now they do. So.
Well, thank you.
What a gift.
I look up to you and you've inspired me to be on this journey. So your courage and your boldness and authenticity has definitely given me hope for the journey.
Well, thanks. Well, let's dive in here to look at Luke chapter 13, 18 to 21.
He said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what should I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nest in its branches. And again, he said, to what should I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened.
Where do you start with this?
I start with the question of, what is the kingdom of God like? I think we go through life often just thinking we know what the kingdom of God looks like. But I think that the text somewhat reminds us that we're constantly seeking and asking God, what is your kingdom like?
Yeah.
What do you have for us? I think it requires us, it puts us in an open posture, a receiving posture of, what do you have for us? What do you want to teach us?
I think that's really helpful, because I do think often when we talk about God's kingdom, I'm like, oh yeah, no, I know what that is, right? And people who see it very differently from me also, I think, probably say like, oh yeah, no, we know what that means. But like, right. No, we don't. None of us do.
Right.
And Jesus is trying to tell us.
Right. But I also think it's powerful, because when Jesus speaks in parables, like, there's a reason for that. And it's because no parable has only one interpretation. And so I think that also reminds us that the kingdom of God has more than one interpretation, has one more than one perspective. And so no one person or church or place has an authority or autonomy over the kingdom of God. I think the fact that Jesus is teaching about the kingdom in a parable is very intentional. About parables constantly rack our minds, right? Parables constantly cause us to think differently. How else might I interpret that? How else might I see that? And I think that's kind of how God wants us to live life, is like constantly reassessing our faith, reassessing where God might be leading us.
And adjusting that lens too.
Goes back to what I learned growing up, that no, we can't begin to comprehend God, because God is bigger than our comprehension, right? And so I think beginning with that question is just helpful, to know that no one answer can fully describe what this kingdom looks like.
And if it could, it wouldn't be that good, right? Like,
right.
If it is small enough to fit within my mind, it can't be that great. Well, and then we have this first one. It's like a mustard seed that someone took and planted in a garden, which if I recall correctly, you're not supposed to do. People don't plant mustard seeds in gardens. But then it grew and developed into a tree, and the birds in the sky nested in its branches.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because we have in the Bible over and over again these images of the cedar of Lebanon, right? Which is this big, powerful tree that the birds nest in. And here, this is like a an overgrown kind of nuisance bush of the mustard seed. And it's like, it grew into a tree and the birds nested in its branches. What?
Yeah. And a mustard seed is like the tiniest of seeds.
Oh, it's so small.
Yeah, I can't help but think as we read this, you know, the text right before it was when Jesus healed a crippled woman. And just talking about how Jesus is constantly reframing people's perspective, right? Of what is the Sabbath really about, right? What is this relationship with God about? And so here we are with this mustard seed. And it's like this unlikely thing, right? Yeah. Something we would have never anticipated of what the kingdom of God is supposed to be, or where the birds typically nest, right?
Yeah.
And so Jesus is saying, no, then in an unlikely place, or maybe in a place you wouldn't expect, this is where my creation is going to live.
Right. This is where I do work. I had the benefit of having taken preaching the parables when I was in seminary, which was such a great class. Mike Graves was there from St. Paul's. He was on sabbatical. And so he sabbaticaled at Candler and taught a class. And it was one of those most kind of formative classes there for me. But, you know, we talked about this parable of the yeast, and yeast in an Old Testament context is not a good thing, right? Yeah. When you are baking bread for the Exodus, you leave the yeast out.
Right.
I think yours said 3 measures of flour.
3 measures of flour.
And this is a bushel. And if you look at the Greek, I think it is something equivalent of like 3 giant bags of flour. Like, correct. It is like an incredible amount of flour.
So I have my study Bible handy.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
And it says, 3 measures of flour is an enormous yield for a peasant household, enough to feed as many as 150 people.
Yeah. Also, why is she hiding it in there?
That's a good question.
It makes me think of Schitt's Creek when they're like, fold in the eggs. You fold it in.
Fold in the cheese. Fold in
the cheese. Thank you. Fold in the cheese.
You just fold it in.
What do you mean fold it? You just fold it. Yeah, you just hide it in there.
I think about yeast is, you know, it only takes a little bit of yeast to do something.
And it's super active, right?
Right. So reading back these two back to back, the mustard seed and this yeast,
yeah.
I can't help but think about the smallness of what Jesus is talking about, right? So the kingdom is like these little things, right? That make this huge difference. So like yeast, we know just takes a tiny amount to leaven a lot. So what you're saying, like these huge things of flour, it just takes time, like this little bit of yeast is gonna leaven this whole amount of flour, and this little seed is gonna provide a sanctuary for all these birds, right? I think about what that means of the kingdom today and how the kingdom can be revealed through a tiny act of grace.
It makes me wonder what are the things you kind of identify in your life that are your mustard seed or your yeast, your tiny things that are kind of revealing the kingdom of God to you?
I mean, something that happened very recently is as recent as last week. I was at this meeting and, you know, I've been going through some hard conversations in the nature of the Methodist Church. And I saw my DS at a meeting last week, and I saw her. And after the meeting was over, we were catching up for a little bit, and she just looked at me and said, "I'm grateful for the person that you are," and just gave me a hug, right? And the exchange literally probably took maybe 15 seconds, right? And I walked away and I kept thinking about that moment and how it impacted my soul. And literally like a couple of days later, I sent the DS a text and I said, "Hey, I know this probably seems really trivial, but that simple affirmation and hug that you gave me the other day was very powerful. Like, it made me feel like I am supported, that I'm seen, that I'm valued, you know?" And so I think that's where my mind is right now, of like, just a simple act of grace and love can make such a profound impact on God's people.
I love that. And I think part of what I want to try to do today is remember that the small acts that I do matter and try to be intentional about them.
They do matter. And I think about when Jesus often tells people, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be like the ones preaching on the street corner and doing these like grandiose acts, like to prove your faith or to prove that you're holy, right? But all it takes is these tiny things, right? Maybe things that even go unseen, right? I'm sure it would be very easy to miss a mustard seed just laying on the ground, right? Or to not see the yeast. But it's like those things that can make such a difference in someone's life. And we don't need to overperform or overachieve to make that difference. It can literally be something as, like you said, just a simple act of kindness that makes a change.
Yeah. I talk a lot about how, you know, we talk about the sacred act of neighboring at Front Porch and how we are drawn to, at least I know I am, those grand acts of neighboring, right? Oh, I saved a kitten in a tree. I don't know that that's a grand act of neighboring, but, you know, something that's very obvious that you're doing a really good job. And I love a grand gesture, right? But I do think God's kingdom is brought in actually one small, tiny, intentional act at a time, right? It is those small, intentional moments that make up a lifetime of grace.
Absolutely. The kingdom of God is happening all the time, right?
Yeah.
It's not like this one thing that we've missed or that is going to pass us by. It's like constantly.
And
we get to be a part of that, right? Yeah. This continuing revelation of God's desires for humanity, to be in relationship with each other, to share love and grace, kindness.
Well, Kip, this was a joy. Will you pray for us?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Holy God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. For the moments that seem so small, but yet make such a difference. The moments we feel embraced by the people that we love, maybe even strangers. God, we know that there are moments that just take us by surprise, but Lord, that is your kingdom, making its way into our hearts and into our lives. And God, today we just ask that we could be a part of that for other people, that you would utilize us in small but faithful ways to continue bringing about your kingdom on earth. Lord, may we be stewards of your grace and love so that all that we see, all that we meet, might encounter that same love and grace through us. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Sam.